Welcome to episode 1238 of the 1010 Thrive podcast, brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries. 1010 Thrive, 10 minutes a day, based on 10 guidelines for abundant living. Today, we continue our series, 1010 with Jesus, a deeper look with our chapter, Ripped from the Headlines, in which we examine Jesus's take on topics of contemporary relevance. How can we make sense of what's going on in our world today? How would Jesus respond to or counsel us about the issues that dominate our news feeds? In John 8, verse 32, Jesus makes one of his most famous promises.
You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free.
But he said this to people living under an information system controlled by powerful elites, religious leaders who decided what scriptures meant, Roman authorities who controlled public discourse, and local rulers who shaped the news that reached ordinary people. Sound familiar? Jesus lived in an age where misinformation was a tool of control. The Pharisees spread false rumors about him, that he cast out demons by the power of Beelzebul, that he was a glutton and drunkard, that he was planning to destroy the temple. The religious establishment had their own version of fake news, or alternative facts. But Jesus also lived in an age where truth could spread virally through unexpected channels. His parables were designed to be memorable and shareable. His teachings spread through networks of ordinary people, fishermen, tax collectors, women, children, people who had no official authority but carried the message anyway. Imagine if Jesus had Twitter, Truth Social, Blue Sky, or Threads. His followers wouldn't need institutional media to share his teachings, but his opponents wouldn't need institutional media to spread lies about him either. The question isn't whether Jesus would engage with our information age. It's how he would navigate the same challenges he faced then. Powerful people controlling narratives, truth competing with propaganda, and the responsibility of communities to discern between what liberates and what enslaves. Let's start with something Jesus understood better than almost anyone: the difference between having authority and being authoritative. The religious leaders of his day had institutional authority. They controlled the temples, the scriptures, the religious education system. But Jesus spoke with a different kind of authority. Matthew 7 verses 28 and 29 tells us that when Jesus finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, because he taught as one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law. What was the difference? Jesus's authority came from truth itself, not from position or power. This distinction is crucial as we think about social media and misinformation today. Jesus faced a similar challenge. How do you promote truth in a system where lies travel fast and powerful people have platforms to spread them? In Matthew 23, Jesus delivered a series of woes against the Pharisees, calling them blind guides who
travel over land and sea to win a single convert, and when you have succeeded, you make them twice as much a child of hell as you are.
This wasn't just about religious error. It was about the damage that influential people do when they spread harmful falsehoods. Jesus understood that bad information from trusted sources doesn't just mislead people. It corrupts their ability to recognize truth when they encounter it. But notice Jesus's solution. He didn't call for the Pharisees to be silenced by external authority. Instead, he exposed their hypocrisy through public teaching, letting people judge for themselves. In Matthew 15:14, he said,
"Leave them, they are blind guides. If the blind lead the blind, both will fall into a pit."
Applied to social media regulation, Jesus might support accountability for those who spread harmful misinformation, especially those with large platforms and public trust. But his primary strategy would probably be flooding the zone with truth, rather than just removing lies. Jesus would likely ask,
"Are we addressing the symptoms or the disease? Are people being deceived because lies are available, or because they haven't learned to recognize truth?"
This brings us to one of today's most contentious debates: cancel culture versus free speech. How would Jesus navigate the tension between holding people accountable for harmful words and allowing space for redemption and growth? Jesus's approach was nuanced. He absolutely confronted harmful speech. In Matthew 12, verse 36, he warned,
I tell you that everyone will have to give account on the day of judgment for every empty word they have spoken.
But he also consistently offered paths to redemption. When Peter denied Jesus three times, Jesus didn't cancel him, he restored him. In John 21, Jesus gave Peter three opportunities to reaffirm his love, directly addressing the three denials. The woman caught in adultery provides another model. Jesus didn't excuse her behavior or pretend it wasn't wrong, but he also refused to participate in her destruction, telling her accusers,
"Let any one of you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her."
Jesus seemed to distinguish between accountability and annihilation. He held people responsible for their words and actions, but he always left room for repentance and restoration. Applied to cancel culture, Jesus might ask,
"What's the goal here? Is it to destroy someone or to create change? Are we making space for people to grow, or are we writing them off permanently? And are the people demanding accountability examining their own hearts first?"
In Matthew 7, verses 3 to 5, Jesus said,
"Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, 'Let me take the speck out of your eye,' when all the time there is a plank in your own eye?"
This doesn't mean we can't address harmful behavior, but it does mean we should approach it with humility rather than self-righteousness. Jesus' relationship with religious authorities provides insight into debates about educational censorship and book banning. The Pharisees and Sadducees controlled religious education, deciding which interpretations were acceptable and which were dangerous. Jesus consistently challenged this gatekeeping. In Matthew 21, verse 16, when children were praising Jesus in the temple and the religious leaders demanded he silence them, Jesus quoted Psalm 8.
"From the lips of children and infants, you, Lord, have called forth your praise."
Jesus believed that truth could emerge from unexpected sources, and that attempts to control information often revealed the controller's weakness rather than their wisdom. But Jesus wasn't naive about the power of ideas to cause harm. In Matthew 16, verse 6, he warned his disciples,
"Be careful, be on your guard against the yeast of the Pharisees and Sadducees."
When they finally understood, Matthew tells us Jesus was not telling them to guard against the yeast used in bread, but against the teaching of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Jesus understood that bad ideas, like yeast, can spread and corrupt everything they touch. But his solution wasn't censorship. It was better teaching, more truth, clearer thinking. Applied to book banning and educational censorship today, Jesus might ask,
"What are we afraid of? Are we protecting people from genuine harm, or are we protecting our own power and comfort? Are we equipping people to think critically, or are we trying to think for them?"
Jesus would probably oppose both the banning of books that challenge comfortable assumptions and the forced inclusion of content designed to harm vulnerable people, especially children. His criterion would likely be,
"Does this lead people toward truth and love or away from it?"
In an age defined by the constant flow of information, Jesus offers a powerful and refreshing alternative to the noise. He understood that the real battle wasn't just against lies, but for the very soul's capacity to recognize truth. He didn't rely on institutional authority or censorship. Instead, he spoke with an authority born of truth itself, empowering ordinary people to become carriers of a message that could not be silenced. His approach was nuanced, confronting harmful words while always leaving a path for redemption. He warned against the yeast of corrupt ideas while trusting that the light of truth would ultimately prevail over any attempt to hide it. The question for us isn't just about what we should do with information, but about what information is doing to us. Are we building systems that protect our comfort? Or are we truly seeking the truth that sets us free? Father, in a world full of noise, lies, and confusion, we pray for the wisdom to discern your truth. Protect our hearts and minds from the influence of falsehoods, and help us to speak with humility and authority that comes from you. Give us the courage to confront hypocrisy and error without condemning people, and show us how to offer a path to redemption, just as you have for us. That's our episode. Remember, God calls you not only to live, but to thrive. Live life to the full. Today,